Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another hope made of
another show. Okay, so how many days of the week are there? Well, that's, I think, how many shows I can report on this week. Starting with one that I seem to be the only person who enjoyed, which makes me wonder if I've been doing this too long. Anyway, Tammy Faye is now at the Palace Theater. It features a few stellar names, the music by Elton John, and two of the leading actors are among my favorites and both former Tony winners. That would be Christian Borle, who was last seen in Some Like It Hot and is always amazing, and Michael Cerveris. Now, in this show, they play Jim Baker and Jerry Falwell. But the show, yes, is called Tammy Faye. And the actress, a Brit, who plays her is Katie Braben. And she is terrific. Now, she's an Olivier Award winner for this. So we could have a Tony Award battle up ahead for Best Actress in a Musical with Sunset Boulevard and Gypsy, obviously the front runners. And stay tuned for the two leads of Death Becomes Her. More on that next week. Anyway, Tammy Faye is basically about the birth and possible death of what was called Electric Church Television, delivering their message through playful puppets in addition to increasingly fiery servants. We follow them as they take to the airwaves and pioneer the use of television to spread the gospel and raise a lot of cash while they're at it. Now, this production has not received rapturous reviews and apparently is not selling very well. So if it sounds like your cup of something, maybe you should head quickly to the Palace Theater. That said, I enjoyed the show and my audience seemed excited throughout. Now, the next musical I saw is, on the other hand, quietly but rapidly picking up positive buzz. Yes, Not a Happy Ending is going to be the most talked about new show of the season, I predict. At least for an original, not a revival. Here we have two neighbors who meet when one needs a charge, literally, since they are robots, or help bots, I think is the phrase here. Now, I don't want to give too much away, but here are the basics. This is a musical at the Belasco Theater. It takes place in Seoul, Korea. It is intermissionless and runs about an hour 45. It stars Darren Criss, who has a growing legion of fans, as he should, and Helen J. Shen, a wonderful, witty, talented young woman, and another potential nominee, by the way. Is it the first AI musical? Well, not quite, but the show, written by Will Aronson at Hugh Park, directed by Michael Arden, does take place in the near future. Now, I haven't seen an audience this enchanted in quite a while. Maybe Happy Ending is just beginning, but no maybes here. It's considered, well, here's a new term, a Broadway nerdical, meaning a super smart, usually small scale show, like Fun Home, The Band's Visit, and Kimberly Akimbo, a small show that manages to have big emotional impact. Anyway, finally, at least musically, there was A Wonderful World, the Louis Armstrong musical, basically a jukeboxy tribute to that great artist. That's playing at Studio 54. Now, most believe that Armstrong deserves, well, more than a standard bullet point biography, which this kind of is. A Wonderful World tries to compress 60 years into four chapters, defined by place, you know, New Orleans, Chicago, Hollywood, etc., and defined by wives. Yes, Louis had four of those. James Monroe Iglehart, I hope I pronounce it right, or Iglehart, does his best in the lead role. This is for a much older audience, obviously, and God bless them for coming out on a cold night. By the way, there wasn't only music in my week. I also caught Walden, W-A-L-D-E-N, at Second Stage's intimate Tony Kaiser venue. Now, this is a three-person piece written by Amy Berriman about two astronaut-trained sisters and the man in one of their lives. Emmy Rossum and Zoe Winters are the sisters here, and they do well. Ultimately, this one is about climate change and or whether Earth is worth saving or we should all head up there. Forget AI here. The term is EA here, as in Earth Advocate. The questions include, is it possible to feel more human on the moon? It's a good show for science nerds in a way. I don't see this one having a long life down here. But it's yet another thought-provoking play from a female playwright, of which there have been many recently, and more to come. And then there was Blood Quilt at Lincoln Center's Mitzi Newhouse. Yes, also penned by a woman, the excellent Katori Hall. And this one also deals with sisters coming together around a death in the family, which leads to the metaphorical title. Here are the names of the actresses, and they are worth mentioning. Adrian Seymour, Crystal Dickinson, Susan Kelechi Watson, Miria, that's just one word, Miria, and Lauren E. Banks. They give truly amazing and very specific performances. This is a 2 hours, 40 minute piece, a tad too long. The idea of those actors doing this twice a day is not only admirable, it's almost inconceivable. Still, the Blood Quilt is an achievement to admire. Now, as for some theater news, well, a stage adaptation of Ray Bradbury's dystopian novel, Fahrenheit 451, is aiming for Broadway. This one will be adapted by Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Martina Majok. I hope I pronounced that right. Yes, another woman. Bradbury's book, An Anti-Censorship Manifesto, written during the McCarthy era, is told from the perspective of a book-burning firefighter. An additional casting has been announced for the upcoming revival of David Mamet's Glengarry Glen Ross, which opens in the spring. Now, as previously announced, the cast will star Kieran Culkin, Bob Odenkirk, and now Michael McKean joins the cast. I love him. And that's reuniting him with Odenkirk, his on-screen brother from Better Call Saul. Mamet fans, by the way, should make their way to and through Al Pacino's recent memoir. I just did, and the playwright was an important influence on the actor's career. Now, speaking of theater's impact, you know I often discuss theater in Los Angeles when I am there. Well, wish I was now to see a small show that popped up and is having real impact. It's called It's All Your Fault, Tyler Price, and it deals with childhood bullying, epilepsy, one sibling sticking up for another. This little show at the Hudson Theater is filling the seats, keeps getting extended. Well, let's hope it travels across the country. Back here finally, let me remind you that some 11 or 12 Broadway shows are closing in the next 2 months. So it's a good time to grab a seat for Suffs, Water for Elephants, Back to the Future, Hills of California, Notebook, Roommate, Once Upon a Mattress, and McNeil. One that surprised me on the list is Stereophonic, the recent Tony winner. Anyway, sometimes these notices are put up prematurely to sell a new batch of tickets, and then they decide to keep going a bit longer. Anyway, next week I will discuss Death Becomes Her, as well as a 3-hour show with Adam Driver, and an off-Broadway piece dealing with gun control, a new version of a Shakespeare classic, and, well, my almost 7 hours with F. Scott Fitzgerald. So stay tuned, and I'll see you next week.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.